This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Got a great show lined up for you. Number 8 in the series of Royal Blood. We're going to wrap it up tonight with a concluding message about who you are and who he was and who we need to be. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the astounding thing in the Bible is that some of the genealogy could be considered a suspect. If we go to Matthew 1:1, it starts out normally in a genealogy fashion by saying that the first verse, and I love this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, there's nothing wrong right here except maybe the name Jesus is not the proper name. So, if we was to say Yahweshua, then we could be correct. So, the book of the generation of Yahweshua, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brother. Now, right here we go wrong. Something's wrong here. Now, what is it? Well, right off the bat, they start with Isaac to Jacob to Judas, or Judah. Judas is a Greek Hellenization of the word Judah. So Judah jumps in the genealogy downline from Jacob. And that ain't the way it is. That just will not get it. But you say, well, what's wrong with it? Well, we're going to conclude here that something's wrong with the genealogy. Now, the Bible said to beware of the scribes. Scribes are the one that penned, and the Bible talks about the lying pen of the scribes. So you better take notice. If something is wrong, or rotten in Denmark, as the old saying goes here. For it says, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Naasson, and Naasson begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Now, I've done proof to you by Bible concordance, not by man's word, not by my word, but by Bible concordance, that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer for the house of Joseph. You reckon somebody that wanted to steal the birthright or to make the birthright look like it was going to come out of the house of Judah, when there's not one verse of scripture? If you read in the Bible, every scripture that mentions birthright, there's only 9 scriptures in the whole Bible. Not one of them. And I'm going to repeat this. Not one scripture will identify Judah as a birthright son. You see, folks, Shiloh, the Messiah, Yahweh, the one we're talking about here, the son of David, had to be bloodline direct back to a bloodline that was provable in the Bible. Judah's not there. It is the house of Joseph that Boaz was redeeming Elimelech and his 2 sons. The bloodline of kinship was redeemed by Boaz, and Boaz had to be kin to these Ephraimites, not Judites. Now, that's what's wrong with the Bible, right there in a genealogy. You know, Paul mentioned about the arguments of endless genealogy. Did he know something that maybe we should perhaps know? Should we take Christ for his word when it says to beware of the scribes, and the scribes were the one that penned, kept in line, or at least had the responsibility of writing the genealogy correct as they changed from a wore out one scroll to another, that they were to copy correctly? You reckon some of these lying scribes have missed the mark, broke the law? Of course they have. You say, well, buddy, why? Well, in the 7th part of a series, we proved, unless somebody can rewrite the book of Ruth, if somebody wants to rewrite the book of Ruth, then we may have a problem with a whole lot more Bible, scriptures in the Bible. Because it said that Elimelech and his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were Ephraimites. Strong's number 673. So somebody has to be blood kin to these men before you can have a redemption, and these men are listed in the genealogy downline. Boaz is included here in the book of Matthew in chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Now, isn't that wonderful? And David begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, and Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abiah, and so on and so forth, and right on down the line. But in verse 6, we'll find that the genealogy of Matthew does not agree with Luke. Luke does not agree with Matthew. We got a discrepant difference here. Now, we're going over to the book of Mark, and we'll read from the book of Mark the actual writings of the book of Mark in, of all places, chapter 3, and it starts at verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Not the son of Judah, but the son of Joseph, as was supposed. And it goes on, to this is the son of us, or son of this, son of this, son of this. And we get down to verse 31. Remember, in Matthew it says that the bloodline succeeded through Solomon. But here in verse 31, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mahatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Nishan, and which was so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. Now, Here, the Bible says that the bloodline is coming through Nathan on David's side, not Solomon. Now, it can't be from both sons. It has to come from one or the other. And we got a cross in the Bible here. And has the scribes been up to it lying again? Yep. The scribes are doing what scribes do best. They change some of the words and some of the text and some of the names, and they do it purposely to suit their own brand of ideals about the Bible. Not as a holy man written. The Bible said, if any man add to or take from, then he's going to have some serious problems at the judgment seat. That's what's happened right here. Verse 31 again, Nathan, the bloodline comes through Nathan. Matthew 1 verse 6 says the bloodline of Christ comes through Solomon. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which one would you opt for? Nathan was a worthy man, good character. Solomon loved many strange women and perverted his seed through the seed of Cain, the women of Cain, just like Judah did. Now, what are we going to do in a case like this? Well, Yahweh's always guarding the bloodline. Remember, I told you. So he slipped the bloodline through Nathan, David's son, and so then Christ descended through Nathan's side of good character rather than the polluted side through Solomon, the man that loved many strange women and even actually built a temple to some of the goddess and religious worship centers for all these strange women of 1 Kings chapter 11. You'll find it right there. What he done. Yahweh was not well pleased with that. You think he'd come through a polluted bloodline? See, that's what Satan was trying to do. Pollute the bloodline that Christ was predestined to come through. Well, if Solomon was the son of David and David was an Ephraimite, how could he be a Judite? That's a $64 question we're trying to draw out here. Remember that the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, redeemed the blood of Ephraim, not the blood of Judah. But somehow, the sons of Judah pop up here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 4, and Judas ran out of Jacob's bloodline, and Judas begot Phares. Well, Judas never did have the birthright. What's he doing in here anyway? The scribes, who was from the bloodline of Judah mixed with Cain's seed of Genesis 38, saw to it that their daddy and their bloodline got in there. That's why Christ said, beware. You don't want to find the Kenites, go back to the book of Chronicles and take a look at the book of Chronicles, and you'll find out exactly how the Kenites became who they were. And let me show you here. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, and the families of the scribes, and that's who we're talking about here, that pinned down the genealogy. We done caught them, cross-checked them here. We found already three or four errors in the genealogy. You'll find more now when you get to reading, if you really want to study the genealogy. And the families of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirahites, the Shematites. Now, that was from the blood of Genesis 38, Judah and Shua with Sheila. The Shemanites and the Suchatites, these are the Kenites of the house of Rahab. The Kenites, the scribes, Cain's seed. They loved the chief seats. They acquired them through qualification. They studied. They made priests. They had zeal. They strived to get the chief seats, and they got them. Then they began to rule the Sanhedrin, and they were in rule of the Sanhedrin court when Christ came at 12 years old. He stood in the temple and taught them scribes and showed them where that they'd made these changes centuries before. And the scribes were amazed at his knowledge. And then they conspired to kill him because they didn't want it out that what they'd done, their forefathers, the lion pen, the scribes, they were following in suit. They were keeping a conspiratorial cover-up. You talk about Watergate and the administration of the presidents of yesteryear, or Whitegate, White Watergate, or whatever gate, is a conspiratorial lie hatched up and then tried to be covered up. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said nothing that is covered will remain that way forever, because the time will come. It will be revealed, or the concealment of the cover-up will be revealed through the revelation. And that's what's happening right now. Father is sending prophets from the house of Joseph in on the scene around the country. I'm not the only one. There's others. There's prophetess from the house of Joseph and other houses as well. It's not exclusively the house of Joseph. It just means that the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah, there's two houses here. And so the true prophets of the house of Israel are coming on in the last day to pull the cover off. And I revealed this 15 years ago. And I'm the only one that I know of that is teaching it on worldwide radio. Do you catch any flack for it? You bet. Do you have any dissenters? Of course. 98% of the people I'm preaching to will not accept it. But it's the truth anyway. And the Bible is not interested in how many accept it. It just wants it taught. And the Bible said, preach my word. He has my word. Let him preach it faithfully. So I'm not preaching to many anyway. So I'm preaching to the few. I certainly am not preaching to the choir, because the choir ain't singing this song. They're singing that Jesus was a Jew and that David was a Jew. I'm here to say he wasn't, and offering $5,000 cash for anybody to prove he was. You say, well, there's a lot of scriptures that indicate he was. Well, bring it on. Let's look at it. The Bible said to write and divide the word, and that's what we're doing here. The bloodline of Christ either had to be from one bloodline of the 12 sons or the other. Couldn't be of all of them. It specifically had to come from. And when I say come from, I mean it had to come from the birthright tribe before he could have any lawful authorization to claim kinship, to redeem all of the other houses of Israel. It had to be in the birthright category of the house of Israel, and that just happened to be the house of Joseph. No one else qualifies. So if Christ was not from the house of Joseph, a perfect type of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, Christ did not exemplify the house of Judah. There is no way that he displayed any characteristics of Judah. He displayed the characteristics of Joseph. Exactly. Precisely. The metaphors and the types, and the shadows. And all of the parables agree that Christ was going to come from the birthright tribe of Joseph to redeem his children. And yet, the scribes maneuvered it around, changed a few of the genealogy texts, and have got everybody believing that Christ came out of the house of Judah, and therefore the Jews are God's chosen people, and they get all the honor and the heritage. Especially from the blind, dumb sheep of the house of Israel. They're the ones that's supporting this. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as there is a division between the house of Judah and the house of Joseph, you see, there has to be a writing in of the injustices that have come down the pike and the lies that have been told. Everything has to right itself. We're going to have to get back to straight as the way and narrow as the gate, and preach the word instant and in season. We're going to have to declare the whole counsel. We're going to have to set it on the foundation of truth, not build it on the foundation of error and falsehood and controversial overlapping lies, that you can obviously see something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Now, again, let's go over. Let's go back to the book of 1 Samuel. Go with me to 1 Samuel, and let's dig a little deeper into who actually And Samuel said unto him, Yahweh hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man that he should lie, or that he should repent. I've just told you, he's going to put it back on a solid foundation here. And for those that will believe that, then we're going to have fellowship one with the other. Now, look at this. It is so plain in the Bible. I'm going to 17, 1 Samuel 17. Let me tell you where I'm going first. I'm going to 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going over here to verse 12. I'm going to prove to you that David and Jesse was the father of David. David was the son of Jesse. And Jesse was the offspring of Obed, which was the son of the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. So Boaz would have to redeem this bloodline, this specific bloodline. Boaz would have to be kin to it, to start with and to finish with. To start with, he had to be kin to Elimelech as an Ephraimite. And Mahlon and Shephlon, he'd have to be kin to them as Ephraimites, because the Bible says that that's what they were. And if you look up that Strong's number, it says a descendant of the house of Joseph. I'm making all this up. I'm just reading out the Bible. And yet people have overlooked this because the lying pen, the scribes have changed the genealogy, and nobody's bothered. They say, well, that's what the Bible said. My Bible is right. Glory to God. When Christ said himself, beware of the scribes. When the scribes pen certain scriptures, you better scrutinize them. You better look at them real close. You better study to show yourself approved. You better dig deep. You better get the revelation. You better uncover the intent of the content of that which is written, because the Bible said, he that adds to him shall be added the plagues. He that takes from him shall be taken his part in the Lamb's Book of Life, if he had any to start with. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite. My God, how much do I have to hound on this? And how much do I have to preach on this to get the hard-headed Israelites to pick up a strong concordance? Well, I've heard he was a Jew all my life, and I just intend to, all this other change and stuff come along, this new stuff that you bring along. I just can't go with that, because for ages and ages and ages they preached that he was a Jew. Well, let ages go on. It's the lie that is for a moment. The truth will prevail forever. Truth will finally prevail over this great lie that Christ and David was Judites, because the line that him described had tried to put Phares. Notice they didn't put Judas firstborn. Wonder why they didn't put him in there. Wonder why they didn't stick Shelah into the bloodline, because he is in line for the birthright. He's Jacob's oldest son, or he's Judah's oldest son from Jacob. Jacob produced Judah, and Judah produced his first son that lived, was Shelah, and he was a Canaanite mix, and he had sons. We just read where they were, the scribes, called Kenites. Beware of the scribes, the Kenites, Cain's seed mixed with the seed of Jacob. The blood of Jacob was fused with the Canaanite blood, and Judah's firstborn to qualify for the birthright was not Phares or Zarah. Years past a buddy having to give you a lesson in genealogy and law and righteous statutes. You can't twist the scriptures around in my presence and get away with it. I ain't going to let you. I'm too far along in the game here. I just didn't fall off a banana truck. I was born yesterday, but not last night. So, let's get with the program here, and don't try to shout this false crap that is seen right way when it's scrutinized, it won't hold up. That's why we have courts of law to examine evidence. We have to have evidence that speaks for itself. And here we're putting Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 12, on the witness stand. And you know who Samuel was, don't you? For those of you that don't know where the prophet Samuel was from, he was from Ramah. And Ramah is in the territory of Bethel Ephratah. He was an Ephraimite, a Josephite, if you will. So was Joshua. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. These are the qualified leaders of birthright. And until Israel sinned, Yahweh would always pick from the birthright tribe of Israel, the house of Joseph, their leaders and their prophets. You notice that the first king that was chosen was from the house of Israel, wasn't from the house of Judah. But they shouldn't have picked a king, and Yahweh did not send them a king from the house of Joseph. That king was yet to come. He sent them a king from the house of Binyamin, the son of the right hand. And his name was Saul. The people clamored for a king, and Yahweh reluctantly, by the way, give them one because of a rebellion. And that's exactly what they've done. They rebelled as Yahweh the king with birthright bloodline, which is what I'm talking about. Yahweh, they rebelled against his bloodline and wanted another bloodline over them. Samuel was an Ephraimite, right out of the house of Joseph. And he wrote this year that David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul, looking for a king, looking for a ruler. This one is fixing to come out of the house of Joseph. David was out of the house of Joseph, bless God. We shunned nine, a thousand hallelujahs. Some emphasis added to the equation that Israel received a king from the house of Joseph. And that king was promised to set that forever, and that Christ himself would come through the seed of David and be called a son of David. But when he got over to the resurrection state of Genesis, from Genesis, over to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, he declares, I am not only the offspring of David, I'm the root of David. Boy, he put emphasis on it to qualify, and very few people ever caught it. He's the root of David. The root of David means he is the qualifying birthright, blood line, progenitor, originator, foundationor. All the blood of this righteous seed line from Joseph came right out of the loins of Yahweh, the Mighty One. Known by myself. For 30 years preached that it was Jesus Christ, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And he was. Just it wasn't his name. It's an accepted, accustomed name that is misnomered. And I hate to preach that because I lose a lot of friends when I preach that. I lose about 90% of the people that I preach to when I preach this covenant revelation. And then I lose another 9% plus when I reveal that part. So I'm losing 99% of my audience all the time. When you say, well, boy, you ain't going nowhere. You got that right. I ain't going nowhere but to heaven if I'll stand for the truth with a few. Because it's a few that's going. Who in the hell wants to go with a many? Not me. Well, I think a lot of people in hell would like to have another chance to go with a few. Well, I'm going to take my chance with a few right now before I go to hell with a many. Thank you. don't know about if or tight. Look that word up. Strong's number. 6, 6, 9, 6, 70, 671, and 672, and 673. It's all the root word. Now start at 673, Strong's number 673, and see if it doesn't say a descendant of Joseph. Now where's Judah at here? If David is the son of Jesse, the Ephraimite, then how could Christ be from the tribe of Judah with a bloodline affiliation? Ain't no way. There just ain't no way. Praise Yahweh. And do I want to make enemies? Am I thankful I found out this information? No. Man, it separated me from my friends. People I used to preach with, have great evangelistic meetings, pack out the houses, swinging on the rafters, shundine and hundine and hallelujahing. Didn't know what was hallelujahing about, but I was a hallelujahing. Now that I know the truth, it has separated me even from my own people, even from my own. Paul said, I wish I was a curse from my own kinfolk because of this revelation of truth. He suffered for it. I suffered for it. You'll suffer with it. Would you rather suffer with a few like Moses? Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt to suffer with a few. Now, wasn't that a stupid move on his part? Now, he surely thought about it many times. It crossed his mind. What in the living hell am I putting up with these foolish, hard-headed, cantankerous, slow to learn, blind, stupid, ignorant? God, I could throw in all kinds of words that must have came through his mind. And finally, after 80 years, Moses trained 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert, and 40 years leading the people. That's 120 years of his life. All of that just to lead a stupid, ignorant, hard-headed people that finally, when the time come, not one of them murmuring and complaining, hard-headed Israelites entered the promised land of that generation. He let them all die off. They died. Every one of them that murmured and complained died, fell dead in the wilderness. And he wouldn't let them enter in. That's why he made them wander around out there. And listen, who took them in? Moses was a Levite. If the Levitical priesthood that had precedent over the house of Ephraim, then it would have been Moses' job, or at least Aaron's, one or the other or both, to lead them into the promised land. But Yahweh said, ain't no way. He let Moses. Now, Moses was healthy. Don't get me wrong. The Bible said his strength was not abated. His eyesight was perfect. His strength was up to the task of crossing the Jordan. But Yahweh said, no, you can't cross. He didn't tell him why. He don't tell us why, but if you know why, then you'll know the mystery is solving it right now. He was not the lead. The house of Levi, the house of Judah, or the house of Reuben was not to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That would have been against protocol of those who are chosen and ordained with a covenant promise to lead the children in. Now, who did? One of the 10 spies that went up out of the 12, they only got 2 good reports. One of them was a Judite and the other was a Josephite. One of them was named Yahshua, the little general that we call a little general. He led them in. He was chosen. Caleb was not chosen. Caleb was the Judite. Caleb was looked over. I'm sure he was just as valiant. The Bible said he was 80 years old, and he went on them when he asked Yahshua, he said, give me a portion of land in the high country where the giants are. I'll kick them out. Surely that this bloodline of Caleb from Judah was a royal tribute because he had spunk, guts, determination, desire. He had all the characteristics of the house of Joseph, or the house of Jacob, and then Joseph, who was the king kind. See, Judah was a warrior. And they were noted for their war abilities. But Joseph was a king. He sat on the throne. He was a scholar. He knew the heavens. He knew the signs. He knew the marvels. He knew the revelations. Father spoke to him. That's why the children of Israel hated him. They were jealous of him. He was a spirit being. And the Father chose one of Joseph's sons, Yahshua, as a perfect type, with the first part of the name of Yah, to march in front of that signature tribe, the house of Joseph. Yahshua led them into the promised land under covenant divine guidance that the Father had chosen the birthright tribe, and he has always and always will lead us into the promised land through the house of Joseph. Now, if we have not been led into kinship redemption through the Messiah in the New Testament, then the real Messiah hasn't come. If he wasn't from the tribe of Joseph Ephraim, he hasn't come yet. We're still looking. And the Jews will be proven right because they say he's not come. Well, the Christians say, well, you folks are blind, and we're going to tell you he has come and he was a Jew. They don't even holler that. They'll accept all of the money that you send over that sandbox and all the accolades that their God shows them. People, well, of course they're going to, you know, you pet a rattlesnake, you know, he's going to like it. You don't feed him a rat every day, a Gentile. That's what they want. Read their Talmud. Read their book of law. Read their justice system. It's a long way from the house of Joseph. I guarantee you that. It has no semblance of the mercy and the grace of a royal tribe or a royal bloodline. Talk about the royal tribe of Judah. There's nothing royal about them. No more than the house of Issachar. Issachar has just as much right to claim to be a royal bloodline as does Judah. Because it's just not so. The only thing to claim that they can claim to fame is through the bloodline of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Yahweh, who produced this bloodline in 1712. Now, David was the son of that Ephratite, Strong's number 673. Look it up for yourself. A descendant of Joseph, defined black and white. It don't say a descendant of the house of Judah. And that's why the Pastor Buddy offers $5,000 reward for anybody. Nobody can come and took my money, because I can link up the genealogy correct. That if it started out in the house of Joseph, it had to end up in Christ in the house of Joseph as a royal tribute to Yahshua, the blood redeemer kinsman that come to redeem and take his people into the galaxies of the promised land. Not just into a geographical area here on the earth, which is now just a desert. If it hadn't been for the ingenuity of the United States and the sacrifice and the money that we made, the house of the nation that they call Israel wouldn't be even in existence. If we pulled our support away from them, the Arabs would eat them for lunch. They're not a powerful, almighty people without Big Brother of the house of the United States. Blind Israel. It's blind Israel that's supporting that cause of Zionism. It's blind Israel that's doing that. It is not the people that can see. There is so many of the house of Judah that are waiting for the true house of Israel and Judah to be reunited. Not the two false houses. They're waiting for the real house. They know better. These are Hasidic Jews in New York, there's a large number of them. They are from the royal king line, bloodline of the house of Judah. But they'll tell you real quick that they have nothing to do with Zionism and the cause of Zionism. It's all a sham, a false. Even those that claim to be Jews and are not, they're Khazars. 90% of them, Khazars, another 10% are this and that. And my friend up in Canada sent me a very interesting article about this very fact that proves, scientifically proves, that they're not from the house of Judah. Isn't it amazing we fell for a lie? Well, no, it shouldn't be. No marvel, because in Revelations 2 and 9, he said, I know them that say they're Jews or not, but are liars. He said basically what he said, you'll find out. For those of you that's just finding out that these people that claim to be Jews and are not are liars, we could just be under the greatest sham, one of the greatest deceptions, one of the greatest lies that's ever been sold and told to a people that's blind. That's the house of Israel. We're supporting this cause unjustly. There's no justice in it. These people are not who they say they are. They're imposters, and we don't know the difference. The characteristics of them are Matthew 1 and 1, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Matthew 1:20. And while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, now listen to this now, thou son of David. Now, my question is to you is this. If David was the son of Jesse, an Ephrathite, and Joseph was the son of David, what would he be? You getting a picture here in the genealogy? Well, you ought to. Matthew 9, and when the Messiah departed, two blind men followed him, saying, thou son of David. Who's the two blind men? The house of Judah and the house of Israel. The true sheep are the two blind men symbolized here, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Because a third party has come in and said that the true Christ, the true Messiah, would come from the house of Judah. But he hasn't come yet. And Christians say, oh, that's because y'all are blind. God blinded you all. Now, let me give you a challenge here. And I hate to offer money because I don't have money to offer. I just offer it on a confidential level that you can't read it. There is not one scripture to indicate that Christ or David came from the blood of Judah. Not one. Not one. And yet we have been led to believe simply by Matthew 1 and 1, where it describes the genealogy, that all of a sudden, out of context now, not within context of downlining, why didn't he start with the house of Reuben? Reuben is a firstborn. He deserved the birthright. And I shouldn't get any argument from any Bible scholar at all. It is mentioned that Reuben had the birthright. He was Jacob's firstborn, Reuben. And yet he defiled his father's couch, and Jacob withdrawed the contractual obligation that was him, because this man displayed a character that was not uniquely birthright material. And so he was in that. Now let's look at the second. Simeon. The second son was Simeon. Genesis 46 and 10 tells you what he done. He married a Canaanite woman. Well, that excludes him. Well, who was the third one? Levi. Well, now, Levite was to obtain no inheritance in the house of Israel, so he didn't have a birthright vote. He was to be a servant to the other sons as serve as the koshers, or the meat cutters, or the tenders of the temple. And so they didn't have any inheritance in Israel. They were to receive a fifth part of the tithe right out of the house of Israel. And they got it. Now, later on, we find in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, chapter 9 in the book of Ezra, 13 in Nehemiah, that these Levites, even these Levites, begin to marry strange women and forfeited their whatever right they had. They didn't have any, but what right they did have was forfeited through their character also. The father found fault with the Levitical covenant. And so that they couldn't inherit it. They couldn't have the birthright. All right, that brings us to the fourth son, which was Judah. What did he do? Genesis 38 tells us that he married a Canaanite woman, and his first son, the first three sons that he had, was from a Canaanite affection. The father himself personally killed two of them. The Bible says so. I say that so bluntly and so outwardly, but it says Yahweh killed them. It just says Yahweh slayed them. I mean, just get real here. I mean, you piss that father off, and he's, you know, he's got a temper. I mean, whole nations have perished because he got kicked off. And here is a man from the blood, royal blood covenant that was in line for the birthright. I admit he was in line for the birthright. Judah was in line for it, but he forfeited it when he brought forth a Cain seed that survived in the earth that is now known as Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. They have worked their way into the upper post, the upper echelons of the Sanhedrin court of the Jewish faith, and written one of the worst, most terriblest set of rules against the other peoples of their own nation, calling those Israelites who became known as Gentiles, Goyim, and that they were far superior to any Goyim, and they had a right to kill you, have sex with your children, and drink the blood of the offspring. And finally, eventually killed the true Messiah from the house of Joseph and said, let his blood be upon us. And it is. But yet, the poor, dumb Christian sheep in allegiance and support, oh, that's God's chosen people. I wouldn't say nothing about them, Pastor, buddy. Don't you, have you ever read the Bible? Where in the world are you coming from? Well, God will strike you dead. You're blaspheming. Glory to God. I heard it all. And anybody ever got discouraged and give up and throw his hands up, it ought to have been me. But I don't get discouraged. I'm not a quitter. I'm a thoroughbred. I didn't get in this to quit. I got in to win. And the only way I can win is run a race. I'm going to run it till I get to the end of the road. And the father says, that's enough and come on home. Unless I outstrip time and I'm living when he comes back, which is quite possible. And he's saying it's probably highly unlikely at my age that I'll ever live to see his actual physical coming. But I guarantee you, if I'm on the other side, I'll be coming back with him. So I'm going to get my revenge one way or the other. I'm gonna see the wicked slate. I'm gonna see every one of them fall to the earth. I'm gonna see them become fertilizer for the kingdom principle. And I'm gonna have the joy of walking on their ashes. Whew, hallelujah. You see, that's what keeps me trucking. That's what keeps me bringing it on. Because I know I've got a promise that can't be defeated. I was telling a brother out in Texas this afternoon about Yahweh's power, that we don't have to worry about who's gonna make the kingdom and its divine covenant principles, because Yahweh just sent one angel down in 2 Kings 19:35 and killed 185,000 enemy. One angel came down. One, and killed 185,000. I'm sure it was just probably he was blowing smoke off his fingernails, you know, probably early in Eve. It's just an exercise, you know, that it wasn't a piece of cake. One, 185,000. Think about what 10 angels could do to any army. That could be a mess. 185,000 per angel. Add up to 10. You've got the numbers. And think about in one night's work, just one night. I ain't talking about a four-year war. I'm talking about one night of action. He could kill an army that consisted over 2 million or 3 million men. He could destroy them in one night. And you wouldn't have to pick up a sword. You wouldn't have to get you a gun or 22 shell or whatever you need or whatever you think you need. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And it ain't the arm of flesh that'll deliver you. It's the spirit. For not by power or might, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. But your heart's got to be right. You got to get right. Now, we need to wake up, Israel. And that's my challenge to you tonight, is to wake. It's high time that you woke. Matthew 20:30, again, behold two blind men sitting by the wayside. That's Israel, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Do you know that the Bible talks about the time that those two sticks will be reunited? And when that happens, look out, Jack. Don't turn back. The heat's on. Here comes the big boys. So son of David. David was a Nephraimite. Guaranteed. $5,000 reward, prove he wasn't. Give me a call. Write me a letter. Got a sister up in, where's she from? Up in West Virginia. Bless her heart, she's a good lady. She meant good. She was sincere. And, yeah, I can tolerate a sincere person even if they're wrong. If they'll take correction. You can be sincerely sick in your mind. And you may be in a way that seems right, and Satan has made it such a fine line between right and wrong that most of the house of Israel is over on the wrong side, fighting against the true side, when they should be on the true side, fighting against the wrong side. But the Bible said the day will come that they'll call good evil and evil good. Good evil and evil good. We're in that day. Here they're calling Christ a Jew, and he wouldn't. $5,000 reward, say he was. Anybody. 3:21. I'm not an argumentative person. If you got any facts and you got any revelation in the King James, I'll only accept the King James Bible. You say, well, is that the only Bible I know? That's the one that I read out and one I study out of. For the last 50 years, I've read exclusively out of the King James. I've got about 20 Bibles of different translations. But I still prefer the King James. I don't know why. I just keep coming back to the King James. And there's 22,000 typographical errors in the thing, and I have found several passages of Scripture that has to be wrong, or translated wrong, or quoted wrong, or misconstrued. I do know that some of the text has been divided up into verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's out of context, way out of context. But if you'll do your homework and you'll do your word search and you'll apply some of the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, for instance, if you take the Greek Bible and read over in Luke 23, verse 34, the King James Bible says, as most people already know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, here, you get over to the 8th chapter of the book of John, and here is the Messiah, knowing he's fixing to die, tells them that they're going to kill him, prophesies it, tells them exactly, basically, what day it's going to be. It's already noted in Scripture what day he was going down. And here he is telling them he's going to die at their hands, and then he gets up on a tree after he suffered with them and says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, something rotten there. Well, if you read the Greek, you'll find what it is. In the Greek, it says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they did. Now, that's the proper. Of course, they knew what they were doing. They said, this is the heir. This is the birthright son. Let's kill him, and we can have it all. And, brother, I'm telling you what, they killed him, and they have had it good. They own all the silver and the gold. Did you know the Jewish people are the richest people in the world? And they got that by being the sympathy of the heathen Israelites that blind and dumb and don't know? You get this message, you'll know. Well, my time is coming down. This is the final chapter of the Royal Blood. I hope that if you'd like to have the series, you could order it from me and tuck us in a little love offering, and we'll certainly get it out to you in the mail, praise Yahweh, first-class mail. We'll take it to you, praise Yahweh, and give you the revelation of 1 through 8, 8 hours of the Royal Blood. You'll be surprised, some of the message and some of the little nuggets we've hid in the text. You've had to pay close attention to catch the nuggets. I've dropped you a few golden nuggets in each hour of the text. So if you want to go back and check it out at your own convenience, your own time, you can do your own study, word search, and things of this nature, and prove Pastor Buddy out. If you find me in error, you've got my telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. I'm live tonight. This is the 15th day of October. And I'm not a recorded voice in the wind. I am live. My heart's beating right now with the love of the Father. I'm standing by to take your call. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to email me tonight, my email is buddy1. That's a numeral 1, buddy1. 1, number 1, Buddy 1, at CenturyTel, CenturyTel.net. Buddy 1 at CenturyTel.net. That's all you got to have. Praise Yahweh. And we'll look for you on down the line. I'll see you tomorrow night live on the 16th day of October, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. Praise Yahweh, coming to you from the Rock 100.3 FM, the mighty voice in the sky country, out in the Pacific time zone, coming up on approximately 6 o'clock out there. Praise Yah. Well, it's early in the evening. Down here in the south, it's coming up on 8:57. Praise Yahweh. So that's the time we're live coming to you, being uplifted to satellite around the world and down to computer downloads, wherever you may be, at the love call of microbroadcasters.com. A man had a vision, a man had a purpose, and a man had an intention. And he stayed with his dream. He's seen it come through. And these are powerful men that love the Father enough to suffer with some things even that they don't agree with, to have to listen and put up with old pastor buddy, old disgruntled, hard-headed pastor buddy, 70 years old, and in the hunt. Praise Yahweh. Studied the scriptures for 55 years. I have fasted and prayed. I've done my homework, and now I'm a fool. You know, the more you learn about the Father, the more foolish you become. Well, that's Pastor Buddy. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow night, Yahweh willing. Let me give you some of the bagpipes of Scotland, the old home place.